T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining me right now, a guy that you see on television all the time. He's a big TV star now. He is an NFL Network insider, and you can see him on Good Morning Football at 7 a.m. this morning or tomorrow morning, and NFL Game Day morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time as we get set for the last real game day of the year, because everything about the Super Bowl sort of feels fake until the game actually starts. And that is Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. Ian, how are you?
What's going on, man? How are you?
I'm excited. I'm pumped up. We got two very appealing football games. But I was saying this at the top, even though we've got number one, number two, number three, and number four in offense, think about last week, Ian. All four teams stepped it up defensively, and that's one of the big reasons why they're even in these championship games.
And ran the ball. I mean, it's so funny. Like, we all, like the football world, spent the middle of the season talking about the offensive explosion and the Rams and the Chiefs and everything they did on Monday Night Football, and it was kind of the dawn of the new world and everything, and all that was cool and good. But in December and January, it's really about, like, who tackles and then who runs the ball. And, I mean, you know, even the Chiefs, who faced questions about their defense all season, they locked down on Andrew Luck and you know, made him and his team have one of their worst games. Patriots shut down the Chargers. You know, I think the Rams did a pretty good job on the Cowboys. The Saints didn't allow anything for the last three quarters against the Eagles. All of these guys played defense. And so, yes, I mean, the top offenses are all playing, and that's going to be awesome. But if it's a, you know, two low-scoring games where one team has 200 yards on the ground, like, I'm not going to be shocked about that.
You know, I think of all the teams last week that maybe I shouldn't have been surprised but ended up surprising me defensively, it was Kansas City. I mean, they forced 4 3 and outs against the Colts right out of the gate, and I thought the Vinatieri miss was huge, especially after they got the block punt for a touchdown that sort of brought them back in the game. But the pass rush for Kansas City, Justin Houston, Chris Jones, it was surprising, especially considering how good the Colt offensive line had been over the last 8 weeks.
Oh, yeah, and they just overwhelmed them. And, you know, it's great to have edge rush, because, like, I think D Ford is really, really good, like, sort of criminally underrated. He's going to be a free agent this year. We'll see if he gets tagged. But, you know, obviously Justin Houston's making a ton of money, and he's been great. Chris Jones, though, the guy in the middle, is, you know, another one, not a household name. If you get him in front of the microphone, you know, he will probably become a household name. If they get to the Super Bowl, he will probably be one of the media darlings there. But that pass rush up the middle, where you're just attacking guards and centers and disrupting everything the quarterback wants to do, preventing him from stepping into his throws, like, that is devastating. And, you know, honestly, like, when Tom Brady has lost, it's been when the pass rush up the middle is so, you know, frustrating and so disruptive that he can't get rid of the ball quick. I mean, that is what has hurt him in the past, and the Chiefs have the possibility of doing that.
You know, you got me distracted about something, because here in New York, all we can think about is knocking off the Patriots. The Giants got their wish. Right. Cowboys and Eagles are out. And free agents. And you brought up D Ford, who had just a ridiculous season this year. I mean, he was awesome this year after missing a lot of time the year before. What is your feeling on what's going to happen? Will Kansas City franchise him? Are the Jets a major threat to swoop in and sign him, considering all the cap room that they have?
Yeah, I mean, I do expect the Jets to be active. And, you know, I can just imagine Greg Williams standing on the table and going, look, like, I need my Myles Garrett. Like, I need my edge rusher who's going to, you know, take on necessitate two blockers, and he's really going to kind of dictate things. I need that guy. I don't know if the Chiefs are going to franchise him right now. They've been sort of non-committal as far as I can tell. The problem is, like, when you get to that point and you might lose him, so often teams go, you know what, I'm just going to pay the extra whatever million I need to just to make sure that I don't lose him, like, just to be absolutely sure. And so I think what happens is you end up kind of leaning toward, okay, I'll just tag him. So I'm still not 100% convinced that he's going to end up being free.
We're talking to Ian Rappaport. Going back to the regular season game, which was a hell of a game between the Chiefs and the Patriots, I mean, there's a couple of differences. There's a couple of key guys that aren't playing, some who are. I mean, Kareem Hunt is one of them. Hunt had a huge day for Kansas City. He's not going to be out there. What did you learn? What do you expect to kind of carry over from that regular season game, if anything at all, in your mind?
Yeah, it's tough for me to think that anything really is going to carry over. One, because, you know, the Patriots especially, like, they evolve so much during the course of the season. You know, I'm kind of curious. I would say, like, if Belichick will, you know, the famous thing they say is he makes you play left-handed. Like, he makes you do something that you don't normally do. So what does Belichick try to shut down? You know, the Chiefs' run game is good. Damian Williams has been a revelation. But there are definitely teams that believe Kelce is the key to all of that. So maybe the Patriots go, you know what? I'm just going to shut down Kelce. We'll bracket him and we'll say, you know, you're not going to be able to just dink and dunk down the field. You can take your shots with Tyreek Hill. We're not going to let you get first downs with Kelce. Or they could say, you know, whatever happens, Tyreek Hill is not going to catch, you know, three balls for 170 yards. He's going to have to earn it. You know, whatever they decide to do, that's kind of what I'm curious about. Plus, I mean, in this one for the Chiefs, Eric Berry's playing. He is on the field to help emotionally, leadership-wise, communication-wise. It's much, much more. I mean, that is a huge, huge difference for Kansas City.
You know, it's funny. They have had such a difficult time against Tyreek Hill in the two games that Hill's played against the Patriots in his career. Two games where Kansas City put up 40-plus. One in the loss, one in the win, right. The opening week of the year 2 years ago. And Kelsey's been the guy they've slowed down. So Travis Kelce has never, and maybe that's been their approach, hey, we're going to stop Kelce, we'll take him out of the game. But Tyreek Hill has put up monster numbers in the two games he's had against New England. You'd have to think they're going to have to slow him down a heck of a lot more, to the tune of, you know, five touchdowns in the two games he's faced him.
I think, unless they're okay taking that gamble, you know, or if they think, you know, I mean, look, they have Stephon Gilmore, who has emerged as one of the top corners in all of football, all pro. You know, I would say they might just say, you know what, we're going to put our best corner on him and we'll probably get beat once, but maybe not more than that. I think that, you know, that'll be interesting to see. And I think for the Patriots, you know, they're so much more of a run-first offense now.
Yeah.
Do they just possess the ball for 40 minutes during this game? And, I mean, and force the Chiefs' defense to be really tired? I mean, there's so many, like, inter-football things that I'm so excited about finding out.
Do the Patriots really believe the whole everyone thinks we suck narrative? I mean, is that something they've 100%. Really planted in their head?
Yes. Yeah, and people make fun of them. And, I mean, I'm sure everyone's going to make fun of Brady and, you know, Edelman selling T-shirts and the whole deal, like, whatever. But Tom Brady is a specially strange human being because he's so amazing at what he does. But in his mind, he really is nervous about someone else becoming better than him. He never gives snaps to his backup because he doesn't want someone to come in and just be better than him. It's an incredible sort of, like, I mean, insecurity, whatever you want to call it,
right?
That has led him to be great. And so I would guarantee this. If you gave him truth serum or you gave him a lie detector test and you said, does the public really think you suck? He would say, absolutely, 100%. And that is what drives him, and that's why he's not a normal human being.
No, and that's what makes him an ultimate winner. I mean, Michael Jordan would compete at everything, and I think that's what helped him be the ultimate winner.
You guys are not normal.
Yeah, so he must, when he hears, because one of the narratives over the last week, and it's a fair narrative, has been passing of the torch, right? He must hear that, and it must drive him nuts to hear that.
I mean, and it's one thing that is like a constant of Brady over the years. When he'll get asked about, hey, what do you think about this, you know, great young quarterback? Like, how great is Deshaun Watson? Or, you know, this week, well, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Jared Goff, the next wave, and he'll be like, he answered something this week. He was like, you know, well, yeah, those guys are good. He goes, but, you know, we're still here. Like, he does not like the, oh, yeah, the game is in great hands now that we're moving on with these young guys. Like, in his mind, he is still good enough to be viable. And the way he's playing, like, he's kind of right.
What I'm about to say is very dark, but I get the sense it's true. Is he going to walk away when he's forced to walk away? Like, is he going to have to be carried off the field?
Unless Giselle steps in and says, you must retire, which, I mean, as I think we all know, you can say all you want about what you want to do, but when your wife steps in and says, actually, you're doing this, like,
right.
Sometimes that's the decision maker. So possible that his wife says, I think we're all good here. Otherwise, I mean, and I've had this conversation with him before. You know, I mean, he knows that the likelihood is his career is going to be done when he gets cut. And that's the way it's always been for the great players. You know, unless you're just lucky enough to be okay walking away, usually it's when they kick you to the curb and say you're done. It's time for the younger, cheaper guy.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully it just happens soon. I mean, I got to tell you how sick I am of this. I mean, this has been a decade and a half of this. It never ends. And being a fan of a team that shares a division with them, oh, my God, just leave already. Just go. You're the greatest of all time. You've beaten us all into submission. Now, please leave. But like you said, it's not going to happen until it's forced.
When is enough enough? But it's not.
It's never enough. We're talking to Ian Rappaport. You can follow him on Twitter, at Rapsheet. On the other side of things, do you have concern about the fact that the Saints are starting a guy at left guard who committed a lot of penalties in the game against Philadelphia, but they were able to overcome it? I mean, I think that was one of the most impressive things about what the Saints did, that every time there was a bad penalty, whether it's wiping away a touchdown, Taysom Hill to Alvin Kamara, Drew Brees was able to make a play to Michael Thomas. That's what it seemed like. Every time a penalty set him back, they were able to make a play. Any concern, though, about the health of the offensive line and the ability to overcome those mistakes again if they happen?
No, I think they're getting healthier. You know, Andres Pete, they're really, really good guard. Drafted him to be a tackle, but he's ended up as a really good guard. Played through a broken hand, had surgery recently. He'll be healthier. Teron Armstead dealing with a torn pec, he'll be healthier. I mean, those guys are getting healthy, but I would say the best thing about Drew Brees, Brady does this too, is like they're so hard to pressure because all they'll do is say, like, I'm just going to get rid of the ball as soon as I hit my final step.
Right.
And Brees can fight. Not saying he can, like, neutralize guys like Sue and Aaron Donald, but if there's any quarterback that can tire them out without letting them be effective, it's Brees, because he can get rid of the ball in, you know, 2.4 seconds. And I think that's what, you know, that's what the really good ones do, is they say, you know, we're going to take away what you do best by just getting the ball out of my hand. And they got guys who can run after the catch pretty well.
It's funny, Jared Goff has become the forgotten quarterback of the four. You know, Brady and Brees are the Hall of Famers. Patrick Mahomes is the next greatest thing in the world. Goff had a very good year this year. I mean, he was in the MVP discussion for an early part of the season, but it feels like he's the forgotten guy. What's your take now, 3 years into the league, on Jared Goff?
I think he's pretty good. Clearly, Sean McVay is great and amazing and, you know, helps him be very good. Not that Sean Payton doesn't do the same for Drew Brees, but, you know, McVay is in Jared Goff's ear until there's 15 seconds left on the game clock, or the play clock, I should say. He's helping him diagnose it. I mean, I think McVay is very heavy-handed in that. But Goff throws a beautiful football, and, you know, there's been times this year when he has been excellent. I don't know which Goff is going to show up this week, because there's a stretch in December where he wasn't great.
Right.
But talent-wise, arm-wise, I think he's as good as any of them.
You know, I think back to the Ram-Cowboy game, and there's still a play that I'm stunned that Sean McVay did what he did, and it's forgotten about because it worked, and that was when he went for it on fourth and goal from the one, already up 8 in the game late, where if you kick the chip shot field goal, it's an 11-point game with 7 minutes to go. You have to feel good about yourself. And he said, nah, I'm giving the ball to C.J. Anderson on fourth and goal from the one. I want 7. You know, I'm going for it. Yeah. What did you think at the time of that decision that McVay made?
I think this is the new NFL, where I think there's enough numbers and there's enough, you know, sort of analytics or whatever you want to call it, where guys realize that their previously held notions of, oh, yeah, always take the points. Like, you know, sometimes it's okay to go for it. Sometimes it's okay to just not take the points and say, I trust my offense. That's really what it was. It was, I trust my offense over my defense, which is okay because their offense has been really good. I was surprised. I didn't agree with it at the time. But a team, you know, stepping on the other team's neck is a pretty amazing thing to watch. And that basically ended the game right there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. How does the Ram defense slow down Michael Thomas, if possible?
I don't think they're going to be able to. I mean, they could double team him, but there's other guys. I think Peyton makes it so hard to just focus on one guy because he's going to move him around a little bit. To me, the only hope is that he goes like 8 catches for 80 yards. You know, the only hope is you turn him into like Julian Edelman, where he catches the ball and you tackle him. So it's really, he's never going to be shut down, because I think he's emerging as one of the best receivers in the NFL. but it's can you turn him into a possession receiver is probably the only thing you can do.
So what do you think is going to happen? You got a feel? I'm very up in the air about this whole thing. I don't know what the heck to expect tomorrow. You got a good feeling about anything?
I mean, I would say my gut is both teams in the Saints game are going to run the ball like crazy, and it's going to be a faster game, probably more low scoring than people think. My guess is the Saints probably win. And then I think in the other game, maybe we get that shootout, and it'd be fun if it's Patrick Mahomes on a big stage and Andy Reid back to the Super Bowl and trying to get what's eluded him. But I'm just never going to pick against the Patriots until, I don't know when, until they start losing a lot. I'm just, I know too much to pick against the Patriots in any form or fashion.
Nah, dude, you're right, man. I mean, it's tough to, every time, every year we go through the same pattern where they'll have some kind of rough patch. And it's not that people say they suck, but it's, okay, they're done now. They're not the dynasty anymore. And every year, they prove everybody wrong, and they're sitting here, at least in this championship game. At minimum, they're sitting here in this moment. And if they're on the road, they lose, which that gives me hope about tomorrow, whether mostly in Denver, obviously. But they're always here. It's incredible.
Every year.
Every year.
And until Tom Brady leaves or until Bill Belichick retires in, 2045.
Oh, my God. Well, enjoy all the football tomorrow, Ian. Thank you very much for popping on today.
No problem. Always happy to. I can't wait for tomorrow. It's going to be great.
Should be fun. Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport. You can watch him on the NFL Network. You can follow him at Rap Sheet. He's an NFL Network insider. And you can see Ian on Sunday, NFL Network's Good Morning Football Weekend at 7 a.m. and the NFL Game Day Morning Show, which begins at 9 a.m.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.